Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of American Criminal. In our latest season, the child of Italian immigrants sets out to achieve the American dream. And if he has to spill some blood along the way, so be it. Listen to American Criminal, Al Capone, wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get ad-free access to the entire season first, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
Welcome to the OC, my bitches.
Welcome to the OC, bitches.
I'm Melinda Clark.
Oh, you keep doing that, and I hate saying my name.
That's Rachel Pilson.
Scrunch. Sometimes.
Scrunch. Okay, so today we are on season 2, episode 5, The Snowshoe, which is so cute. I love that name. And, well, we have a really special guest. He's very special. Oh my gosh, you guys. You know what? Our guest today is the talented and charming Michael Cassidy. He portrayed one of the most likable and successful characters in season 2, described as a perfect ideal mate for Summer. I wrote that. Yeah. The WASP version of Seth. Zach Stevens stole our hearts in All the Right Places. After the OC, Michael went on to success on shows like Smallville, Men at Work, Resident Alien, and the films Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, Zoom, and Army of the Dead. Now, a husband and father of 3. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
Welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
Michael.
Thanks, guys.
In the studio with us at the Cohen backyard.
Yeah.
Yes.
Beautiful. It's beautiful back here.
So happy to see you, first of all. We saw each other at the OC musical show that was put on six years ago.
It was 2015.
Okay. Yeah. What's today?
It was a weird scene. Year?
That musical?
It was a weird scene.
It was a weird scene. I was glad not to be you guys, actually.
I feel like that, I enjoyed
just
it.
Just as an aside. Okay, good.
Oh, well, you mean the fans? I got kind of
no,
chased
not
into
fans,
the...
but the presentation of characters that you played so memorably and well, presented by other people. I was just like, man, I hope Zach doesn't come out on that stage, man.
Autumn Reeser played Julie Cooper.
Oh, yeah. She did?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
See, this brain thing. I had just had my kid. She was like, maybe one, maybe not.
Yeah, we talked. That was the only thing we talked about. I was like,
kids.
Can you were like, that yeah. And then your car life. Pulled up, and then my car pulled up.
That's all we talked about?
Car, just valet.
My limo?
Oh, I parked in the parking garage. I got chased.
So that was the last time we saw each other.
Yeah.
And before that, it was obviously whenever season 2, I guess, wrapped, because you were in the second season of the show. I myself worked with you a shit ton.
Yes.
Yeah.
And only fond memories, I have to say.
Oh, well, you would lie. In this circumstance, you would lie.
I would lie. I tend to lie. Always, especially when it comes to you.
I'm not saying you're a liar. But... I'm just saying this would be a good situation for you to lie about working with me. I'm sitting right here.
No, I am a liar. I mean,
Okay.
Yeah. So you have that right.
No, okay.
I have to say, though, I loved working with you. I feel like we always had fun.
We did.
We were always
laughing.
That's
my memory. Yeah.
Like, I have a few memories of his... hysterically laughing, uncontrollably, not being able to get the shot.
Yeah.
I think off the top of my head, there's a Vespa.
Oh,
that's the biggest the one. Blooper. Yeah. One of the biggest ones ever.
There's a scene where...
No spoilers, but the Vespa thing was real.
Just parking a Vespa.
You pull up on a Vespa.
I've been in Italy with my girlfriend episode, Francesca. You guys can have me back. I'm going to be back here in 2 days
because
that episode was fire.
Oh my gosh, Misha
I'm getting
and you
red,
were losing
dying,
it.
Dying because it was like, oh my God.
And I couldn't do it. I mean, let's be clear. The issue, it's memorable because I could not do it. All my memories of this show, right or wrong, are deep failure. Like deep, profound failure.
Really?
Oh, yes.
I'm getting hot.
Okay,
I'm laughing.
So let's. Then I want to go into deep diving
deep
this.
Failure, yeah.
Because.
Deep failure. Let's get into the deep failure.
The deep of you because. I love
the
this. Is one of the best things about this is researching people that we worked with, and I get to kind of deep dive on your background. And I was really fascinated. I have to admit, I did not know about the New Actors Workshop.
Yeah,
improv and Stanislavski and Mike Nichols, quite a combo.
Yeah, super hardcore school.
Yeah, and it doesn't exist anymore. No. So tell us about that. How you became an actor?
Oh wow! Well,
you went there?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
somebody.
This show is, it's certain. I feel like I'm in Rachel's movie right now. Like Mindy and I are in a movie where Rachel gets reminded of her life and the people that she knew.
No, it's your life.
Oh man.
So I,
what's your name?
I just, my Michael Cassidy. I play a guy you worked with for a year.
Very intimately. Ducky.
Totally. So I got into acting. I did school theater. I was fortunate to do school theater, and I fell in love with it. And I did my first couple of professional theater jobs still in Portland in high school. Mm-hmm. And then that's all I wanted to do ever since the moment I did it. And so I auditioned and got into this. I didn't want to go to college. And so I got into this 2-year school that was amazing. It was like, the easiest way to put it is like, it was an acting conservatory. It was 40 hours a week. Mike Nichols was a founder and he taught once a week. Wow. And at the time he was making the Angels in America miniseries. So he would come to set and talk about Tony Kushner and Meryl Streep and Al Pacino. And then it was also half improv. So I found out that I was funny in that school. And I found out that I thought of myself as sort of a serious actor. And by the time I left, I sort of felt like the part there, I just was able to incorporate so many other parts of me in conceptualizing myself as an actor at that school. And by the way, I was 18. Most of the people were getting their masters, so they were older than me. And I put up very little work. I was not really able to be a student there. Like I just had to be silent and take it in.
And absorb.
Yeah. And then 2 years later, maybe 2.5 years later, I sort of like backed into this show and it was my first TV gig. I had done a couple of tiny films and a bunch of theater and a bunch of improv. And I felt myself using it all in a way that I imagined my classmates were using it while they were in school. But I just couldn't. I wasn't functioning.
It sounds like when I'm looking at this, and the two things that are probably fundamental to every actor, improv and Stanislavski.
Yeah.
Being exposed to that, like I would have, that would have been amazing.
It was an
amazing
school. I mean, I probably wouldn't have gotten in if it got the credit that it deserved. They wouldn't take somebody like me, but it was good for me that no one knew about it because I got to be there.
Well, and then because my observation of watching you enter the OC was that you seemed like a veteran, the young cast that got these roles, it didn't seem like their first gig.
I was thinking that specifically watching Olivia.
Yeah.
Commented on that.
Yeah. Olivia's like, whoa. And she was younger than all of us, if I remember correctly.
She is. Yeah. Don't mind me.
Yeah. Definitely take your shoes off.
Well, it's a white chair and I don't want to put my shoes on it, but I'm going
to. But you need to curl up.
Yeah. I
you
need to curl up.
Curl up.
Get
comfy.
Michael's here, girl.
Listen, let's go. There's a lot what's to unpack. Am I undressing? Yes. Don't read into that. Okay.
But then tell us how the OC happened, because Patrick Rush was here.
Yeah, it's a good story.
Patrick Rush was here and he indicated something about McGee and Superman. So you tell your version.
Yeah, tell us the story.
Yeah. So I was fortunate to get I was very fortunate to get a job waiting tables so I could pay my bills after acting school. And then 4 months after that, a manager came to an improv show. He signed me, and then he sent me out on an audition. They flew me to LA. I'd never been to LA before. It was a pilot. I tested, didn't get it, got an agent. Mm-hmm. And the agent was extremely good. Now he's my manager, Larry Taub. And he was just so awesome. And I went back to New York, went back to waiting tables, and then I started auditioning a bunch. And then they were like, short notice audition. We think it's a really big movie, but just look at these sides and go over there. And it was like 7 pages from the Luke Wilson, and I'm terrible with actors' names unless I've worked with them. But it's that the one Emma and so-and-so, where they're in multiple time periods. This is a diversion that we don't need.
That's okay.
So I did sides from another film that had already been made.
And they weren't disclosing what the film was.
No. And you have to remember, this is at a time when like, there were no, you know, the superhero movies were Christopher Reeve. They weren't like now. They weren't making them.
Right.
None of it. Right.
I'm still trying to think of the Luke Wilson.
Like, yeah, it's Luke Wilson and the super beautiful Drew Barrymore. Help someone with Google.
They do have a movie together.
Yeah. Is it a time? Do they
I
go?
Don't know.
Emma and Kate? Kate?
Oh, bless Kate it. And Leopold?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's okay.
I looked at the sides and I was like, okay.
They give it to you and you have to go over right then and there.
Yeah. Well, it was back in the day where you go to the agent's office and pick up the paper. Yeah. So I walked into Gersh. I got an envelope. I going down in the elevator, take it out of the envelope. I'm like, oh, 7 pages. And then I look at the address and it's just a block away. And you have to get there as soon as possible. You know, it's like, there's almost never a circumstance where they're trying to set you up to do a good job.
Oh, yeah. Set you up for success.
Even once you get the job, my wife is fond of calling what we do. This is a job for idiots. Like, she got a guest star when we first moved out here in 2006 and it was on Bones. And she's like, Michael, every single time I need something, there's like someone there to be like, do you need that?
Right.
And she called me like 20 minutes into the day and she was like, this is a job for idiots. This is what you've been doing for the last 5 years?
Well, it's because they need to control you.
Yes,
they need you sitting still because that keeps you on the correct timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I went in. I sort of bumbled through it. They were like, we have the director for this movie that you don't know what it is. And all new sides come back next. I was like, okay, great. I don't remember knowing who the director was. I walked in and Mick G was like, what's up, man? I loved your tape, man. I loved your tape. You're like, and you immediately, I imagine you guys feel when you work with Mick G,
totally,
that you have, that not only are you a good actor, you've invented acting and that you have, prior to meeting him, pulled acting itself out of a hat and shown it to him for the first time, and he's never seen it before.
Yeah.
Like, I had that same conversation with him when we interviewed him. I was like, you're the best audition I've ever auditioned
for. He's the best.
The
way he behaves himself and the way it impacted me on set makes me want to be a director. I don't know that I'll ever do it, but just that I could have that impact on an actor, because so few directors have that impact on you.
Right.
And so he was like, awesome. Yeah, do it. Okay, cool, man. Yeah, do it again and do it like, yeah, you're the best ever. Like, you're the best ever. And then nothing, you know? And then we get a call. So the movie he's making is Superman. I'm being really long-winded.
That's okay.
The movie he's making is Superman. They're going to make 3 of them, negotiate a 3-picture deal, come out, shoot a screen test. Okay. They flew me out first class for the audition. Never flown first class before. Never forget that flight.
Did you get your own Bose headsets?
No, they didn't have any of that then. I probably got maybe, anyway. So we do a 3-picture deal for 3 Superman movies where I would play Superman.
Oh, really?
It's yeah.
for actual yeah. Superman.
Yeah.
I'm thinking Jimmy Olsen.
I actually remember this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I
don't know what this has to do with the Luke Wilson movie, but I'm waiting for it to come.
They
circle.
Use those sides
just
as covered sides. This is what I'm saying.
Oh.
Like, in an hour, you're going to be like, wow, he's really long-winded. I don't know if we can use any of that. Like, it's a nesting doll of meaninglessness, what I'm presenting to you.
That's just me, so I can't.
No, I don't know. I don't know. This is why you and I get along so well. We always have, because you're good with it. Yeah. You're like,
I'm good. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You're super chill. So anyway, I put on the cape. I wore the suit. They built a set. Me and Brandon, who ended up doing it with, McG didn't make the movie. So then
Brandon,
Brandon the
that
Ham.
One.
Yeah. He did it with that other huge film director, Brian Singer. And then, but Charlie Hunnam was there.
So all of you were testing for Superman.
Yeah. We all wore the cape. We all got suits. We all got.
Did you
all
read with actresses too?
Yeah.
Lois?
We read with.
Who'd you read with?
Yeah. I read with the woman from Dawson's Creek, I think.
Katie Holmes?
Nope.
Michelle Williams?
Nope. No, it's not Dawson's Creek. It's One Tree Hill.
One Tree Hill.
Sophia Bush.
Yep, I wrote with Sophia. Okay. She was Lois Lane.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember being on set with you, and you were.
Wait,
you had done it? Did you do a Lois Lane day?
I don't know. Did I?
Why are you being so cagey?
I'm not. I actually don't remember.
She really doesn't remember.
Well, I definitely read with Sophia
Finally,
Bush.
Somebody's calling her out. Have you been cagey this whole time?
No, it's just cagey. Me being cagey.
No, it's cagey, dude. It's not forgetfulness. Play the game, Belson. Do your thing.
I did not. I would remember if I did that.
Yeah.
Probably. I didn't do that.
Okay.
Continue.
Who got the role of Superman?
Brandon Routh got that movie.
Okay.
And then what's his name, who plays him in the last few years, was also testing with us as
Who?
Well.
Henry Cavill?
Cavill was there.
Really?
So they kept him like...
And Padalecki was there.
So okay. This is 20 years ago. 19 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was like 6 months before I joined you guys. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 19 years
ago. So that's
ago.
How you came into the OC.
So Mick G must have called Patrick Rush and been like, hey...
Something like that, right? Yeah. Didn't we hear the story?
Yeah. So do you remember auditioning for this role?
Or yeah.
They just offered
Get to
you?
The story that we can actually use on the show about the OC, Michael, now, please. Got it. Okay. Oh, so they stayed out here Oh, yeah. I was staying in my, like, sleeping on the floor of a New Actors Workshop classmate's bedroom in Venice. And they said, go audition down in Manhattan Beach. No problem. I was in Venice.
You were close.
And here, you know, and read, and you're going to read with Rachel Bilson. And I was like, okay, cool.
Can I read with you?
Yes.
For an audition?
Yes. And I had never, I didn't know anything about the show.
This is embarrassing.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
No.
You're a titan of industry, dog. You know the whole, you play the game, Bilson. Play the game. Okay. No, this is like 10 minutes in your life. You were probably, you probably shot four scenes that day.
You yeah. came, you came to the studio and I came upstairs and we read
yeah,
the audition.
You and I read.
Okay.
And Josh and probably Stephanie
yeah.
definitely.
25 years ago, Carrie Bradshaw started posing a slew of honest, provocative, relatable questions to the modern woman in her fictional column, Sex and the City. And just like her, the singles and hopeless romantics of New York still want to know, can you change a man? What constitutes cheating? And can you be friends with your ex? I'm Tara Llewellyn. You may know me from Gilmore to Say, a Gilmore Girls podcast. And after 10 years of navigating dating, friendships, career shifts, heartbreak, and of course, love in New York as Carrie did, I couldn't help but wonder, how relevant is Carrie's column 25 years later? Join me as I revisit this beloved series with some of my favorite New Yorkers and closest friends as we commiserate on first dates, one-night stands, love lost, friendship breakups, and everything in between, to bring Carrie's column to life and answer her questions from each episode of Sex and the City through a modern lens in my new weekly podcast, And Just Like Her.
Bob and Patrick were in there. Okay. Yeah. And I read, left, and I remember calling my agent and being like, it went well. What did I just audition for, though? Like, I didn't, I wasn't familiar with the show. I still to this day, I'm like a guy who just doesn't see stuff.
Right.
And now I have an excuse because I have all these kids, but like, I didn't then either.
So you weren't aware of the cultural phenomenon that was the OC at
yeah,
the moment.
Yeah. But I also wasn't aware of like what television, how powerful it was.
Right.
And how interesting and dramatic and fun it is. You know, right. I mean, I've done it ever since. So, but at the time I just didn't, I was just on another planet.
So were you picturing just theater or film or was it still just so new for you?
To be honest with you, I think the combination of like total novelty and pretty significant low self-esteem made me sort of feel like I was on kind of like a paid, even though I wasn't getting paid, a paid vacation in a place I'll never come back to. Huh. That I was being sort of shown a club that would never actually take me as a member. And I might as well enjoy it because I don't deserve it, is honestly how I felt and often feel. There's some, that is some appreciable slice of the pie inside of my brain.
My observation of watching these episodes with you was absolutely feet on the ground. You knew who this character was. Solid. You hadn't created any bad habits as an actor. You didn't have any preconceived. I don't know. You just fit right in. And this role, I mean, you could not have been more perfect for this role.
I completely agree. But I attribute all of that to very good writing. I mean, I don't. Okay. I'm not going to sit here and be like, I'm the piece of shit at the center of the universe. But I had my like so overwhelming moment-to-moment experience was one of like being a visitor. Absolutely.
Well, and being a guest or being a
yes, that's what I was about
being
to say.
A guest on a television show.
Yeah.
It is. It's a good skill to know. I'm number one on the call sheet.
Yep.
I'm number 12.
Yeah.
Or even 27.
Yeah.
My role is to support these lead roles.
Yes.
That's the whole point of supporting.
Yes.
And to you know, just because you're an extra doesn't mean it's about you. Come
yeah.
on. You know.
Yeah.
And knowing that, but what's interesting is. We were asking Stephanie and Josh, like, you know, you have these ideas for these characters and they don't know if the chemistry is going to work. They don't
totally.
Know. And so it's as our jobs in television is to do the first show up
yeah.
with your dialogue known
yeah.
and on time with an idea
yep.
and give them something so that they're inspired to continue to write. And
yeah.
you were one of those success stories. They,
yeah.
they
yeah.
were inspired to write for your character.
Yeah. Yeah, they were. I don't take any credit for that. I do.
Well, what do you mean? No, you are the reason that it probably went the way it did, you know, because they see you creating this character.
But here's the thing that's hard for me about that, just as a personal, like, acquaintance to acquaintance aside,
yeah.
is if I see it that way, it's hard for me once it's over, like once Zach drives off, spoiler alert, it's hard for me to be like, well, I guess I lost the old sparkaroo there. You know what I mean? Like, it cuts both ways.
Right. I mean, I see what you're saying.
That's the sort of scar tissue.
Mental thing, right? Like the mental pattern of like going down that hole. Like it's me or it's personal or whatever it is. Especially as an actor, like it's really fucking hard to not get into like that insecure stuff, because in this business, as fucked as it is, it's almost always not personal. Not personal. Almost. Yeah.
These are lessons in this industry that it's, you know, okay, take it, go through the pain and move on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you had one of the most developed stories for any quote guest star of the entire series, because you also fulfilled not only this triangle with these Seth and Summer, a very viable, you know, love interest for Summer, but also because of your love of comic books, which was a very cool thing that was introduced on the OC.
Is that a real thing in real life?
No, not at all. I don't know. I'm a huge dork, but I like chess and I like golf and I like fiction. I don't know anything about comics. I still don't.
When you
don't.
Say fiction.
Just like literature writ large. I mean, more modern than classical, but I just like, I like books. Right. I like, writers. I like Stephen King. You know what I mean? Like, I like that stuff. This part was written for me. They just didn't know me yet. Like, I do acknowledge that at the same time. Right. And that has happened. I did a movie recently that felt the exact same way. I feel like Seth and I look like Zach. And that has always been a thing. Like, I could never, when I watch Ben, I can't believe what he does with, I have to take over. You know, like, there's an animal inside of me that has to, like, jump out and be seen and tell jokes and cry and laugh. And the guy, the, like, super settled dude who just goes down the road and, like, does the thing. Like, I'm telling you, I think I would have a much bigger career if I was better at that.
So Clint Eastwood...
Yeah, the opposite is not, of that. Yeah, no. So, I'm like Clint Eastwood's like alter ego on his shoulder. Like,
but you know what's fascinating, and we can I'll point them out in this. Is it this episode? Or no, in the Killers episode that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. When you walk away from the concert, there's like, I'm gonna go jump off a pier. You did not overact, and it's so easy for new actors in this medium but your delivery was very matter of fact.
Oh, well, yeah, when we first meet you on the show, your character, and you come to the comic book club, and we don't know who you are yet, you know, but immediately you like we. Yeah.
The perfect.
Yeah, like, but it's your energy on screen, it's the character, it's like everything, you know, and immediately you like this guy, which is a great setup for what, you know, is to come, and we discover that you're dating Summer and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
All that good stuff. But it's just, as I'm watching you in these episodes and I'm remembering us working together and all that, and like, obviously we had a lot of fun and how great you are. It's just so nice even watching you with everyone else. Like, you have a scene with Olivia in this episode.
Yes. That's a great scene.
The Yoo-hoo, fantastic scene.
Love that scene.
Yeah, terrifying. But yes.
Wait, well, we'll get to that when we, I guess when we get to that scene.
Profoundly intimidating human being to act.
So, yeah, no, okay, then we'll
get to that. But before we get into the actual episode, just generally speaking, we always like to ask, you know, your memories from working on the show or anything that, you know,
your
you
want
to share, your first day, what
so
that was
guys,
like.
So, guys, my first day, and you were so compassionate about it, I'll never forget this, but my first day, I hadn't shot a frame of the show, and I was at the photo shoot in Malibu in that weird vacant lot.
Oh, for season two.
Yeah, where we were all
wearing dresses in the water.
You guys were all in tuxedos and evening wear.
Yeah.
And massive shoot, okay?
It was on the beach, and we were
on the beach.
Water.
Got it. Yeah, okay.
And they had me and Nick and maybe one other new
DJ?
Person come. Yeah, okay. Nick Gonzalez. And I hadn't shot a frame of the show. And I was on this massive Fox promo shoot. And I was like, this is nuts. And I remember sitting in a chair in a tuxedo next to you and Adam. And you were like, you're going to play Zach. We're going to be dating. Or something like that. And I was like, yeah. Yeah. And I was like, my hair had been done in a way that I had it was like someone else's hair. You know that feeling. I'm sure it happens to you more often than me. And
no, I control them.
Okay, good. I need to learn that. We'll talk about that. We'll have our own little podcast me after this. And like, you were so sweet. You're like, this is weird. This is a weird first day on a job. Because this isn't really your job. You know, she didn't say it that way. But I was like, okay, good. I'm not like losing my mind. I'm at a photo shoot for a job. I don't even really know what it is. Like I'd read
you
two
still
audition
don't know.
Scenes. Yeah. I saw the last five episodes of the first season on my friend's floor in Venice after I got the job. They like sent me five DVDs. Uh-huh. That was the other thing in my defense, is that it was hard to see things that had already aired. At that
right. Time. Sure. Oh, yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
So that was my first day. My first day on set, I remember very fondly but embarrassingly, which is, I can't remember who, do you guys remember off the top of your head who directed the second episode? Because that was my first episode. Was it Michael Lang?
Yeah.
Uncle Mike.
So we're at the school exterior courtyard set thing. And I have sort of re-met you and Adam. And the only reason I'm there for the whole day is for the POV shot of Seth seeing you walk up to me, kiss me, and then go down the stairs. That's my first thing. You and Adam are dating. And Adam, again, Adam was amazing. Adam was like, dude, it's super weird that you're here and you're going to kiss like my girlfriend. You're meeting me. It's like super weird, dude, but it's like all good. And I remember him just like calling it up straight up. Because I never could have said, isn't this weird? I've since had that. I've been the other guy many times now in my career. I've had that experience a million times.
We just had that conversation with the episode before about Adam having to kiss Olivia and how weird it is, especially if you've never been through it.
Yeah.
And
just like
and then especially if her partner happens to be on set.
Yeah. Right. It's weird. Yeah. Totally.
So the first take.
What?
We hit our marks or you hit the mark across from me. And I'm so nervous that I go like this to kiss you. And I get this close to your face and then act as though I have kissed you and just start walking away. And I'll never forget. It's like a long lens. And so one of the PAs comes over to me and goes, the director wants to talk to you. And I have no lines. Oh, I have one thing to do. And I'm so blacked out with nervousness that I don't even know that I never touched your face with my face. And so I'm like, okay. And I'm like starting to, and the director just very kindly, but full voice just goes, you got to actually kiss her. Like in the scene, you kiss
her. That sounds like Michael Lang.
You got to kiss her. I'm pretty sure it was Michael Lang.
That is hilarious.
So, and I might have missed the face one more time.
She's a little petite.
He kissed my nose.
Yeah, it was not.
And then my head.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like rubbed your head
you
for a take.
You just like patted me.
Yeah. So that was my first.
But that's part of your first day. There's no lines. You just had to kiss me while my actual boyfriend was watching.
Yeah.
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 He wouldn't have been there though.
Well, so, and so. It was a great scene too.
No, he was.
And Seth was like, "Oh no!"
Yeah,
because he finally met somebody at school who's a water polo player and a nerd.
Yeah.
And he needs literally anything in that moment besides what he gets.
Yeah,
it's just dramatically perfect.
It is.
Well, let's get into the episode because I have a feeling that this is going to be a fun one because Michael actually has a great memory.
Wait, what didn't I just say? Oh, now I'm super nervous.
Do you remember your first day? That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it was my first day on a TV show.
It was your first seminal. TV show. Yeah. First, yeah. So I guess that's pretty pivotal.
This was directed by Ian Toynton. John Stevens wrote it, and it aired on December 9th, 2004. There we go. And
a long time ago.
Okay.
Okay. So we're at the school, like I said. And Ryan and Seth discussed their double dates, but how they turned out to be a success.
Yeah.
Because they
the group hang ended up the way it should have, right? Yeah.
They swapped.
Yeah.
Oh. A little date swap.
That was good stuff.
It was good stuff.
Yeah. But then they see that there's the snow sea sign and it's suggested that Ryan ask Lindsay, but maybe that's a little too soon.
You know, you put up with a lot in this episode and the last episode, the whole Seth and Summer crap.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it and I'm thinking, you know, as someone's boyfriend, it's pretty fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Zach is very understanding, though.
You are like
Zach is
the
old,
most
old soul. Like old
soul. Like, you're just very cozy.
Yeah. Well, he presented himself when he noticed when in the previous episode, when Seth hands over tickets for the Walkman, and you very clearly say, where did you get these tickets?
Yeah.
And you're like, you know what? You figure this
out. It. Yeah.
So mature.
Do your thing.
My God.
No, like the maturity, the level of maturity that like is that Zach handles this whole situation.
Yep.
And we commented on it. and on then, the show is it's insane.
Yeah. Right. And so then, but his exterior is starting to crack. She's chipping away at his heart. Yeah. It's, he's literally changing before our eyes.
This he can only take so much.
Perfect guy
yeah.
that we've seen last episode. He's like, I'm done. I yeah. mean, at the Killers concert, you were incessant. You were obsessive about him. He's going to jump off the pier.
Yeah.
And sure enough, as we open on this episode.
But I don't jump because she's super cute.
Yeah.
She's very,
come
very
on,
cute.
Come on, Ducky.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ducky.
But in this
episode.
Do you
episode, remember, yeah. did they just write that nickname or did we come Why? Up with it? Or
I remember it being in the script.
Okay. Yeah. I believe it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But in this episode, you guys instantly, you're in the hallway and then you go at each other once again because he says something about his date. And Zach just like walks away. Is she still going
yeah.
at him?
Oh, yeah.
And he's just had it at this point. I think this episode is, I start feeling really, really sad for our perfect Zach.
Yeah. Well, we earn our punch.
Yeah.
You know, by heaping more resentment yeah. on top of me.
Well yeah. put. Well put. Also, the other things that we are going to address is... there's something rather large that Caleb is hiding.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, I love the mystery. Josh talked about really, this storyline is taking forever. It started in last season
yeah.
and it's taking forever. And because we don't, I don't think we ever have another mystery. And I love Sandy being the private detective and the PI.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He's bending the rules of.
Yeah,
of
he being, really, he's there's a lot of really unethical. Questionable stuff he did yeah. in the episode before this. Yeah, yeah. To find out.
He's like, I'm going to find out.
Yeah.
Did you watch a bunch of episodes to prepare?
I watched, yeah, yeah, to prepare, yeah.
Did you watch like all of season two up until this point?
Up until this point, yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate the preparation.
It made me realize that I have potentially seen less than 15% of my work because
you can't watch
remember, I don't want to say that I can't, but I have chosen not to so much. And I was watching and I was like, I don't remember watching any of this. And I remember making an awful lot of it.
Because Adam said the same thing, or I watched it just over the years. I'd break out the box set and show it to anybody who would watch. Hey, you want to see this? This is a great scene. My husband's
Thanksgiving
like,
was just like super weird.
Anyway, but like Adam said, he hadn't seen it. You hadn't ever seen
Adam's
it.
Like almost as bad as I am.
Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah, I mean, you do. You're not. I don't know. I was such a fan of the show then. I am now too. So it's fun. I mean, sometimes it's, you know, now I'm watching for work, but I find myself literally laughing or smiling or giggling or crying.
Yeah.
I'm like, and I watch an episode a couple times and I'm like, because I keep missing great things. Dialogue.
Huh. Yeah. I should probably do that. But yeah, like even when we started this and watching the pilot, I was like, this show's pretty good.
It is. The people who love it were not wrong. It's good.
This is a pretty good show.
Yeah.
Yes. I also love this storyline, Ryan and Lindsay. We see Ryan tries to ask Lindsay to the Snow Sea.
On Valentine's Day 1929, a group of gangsters was massacred in a cold Chicago garage. The crime shook the country. And even though investigators had only just started looking for answers, everyone was sure they already knew who was behind the crime. Al Capone. Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of the new true crime history podcast, American Criminal. We take you inside the minds of some of our most notorious felons and outlaws, exploring the dark side to the American dream. In our latest season, a child of Italian immigrants sets out to make good on the promises of that dream. But Al Capone's path to success doesn't take him down the straight and narrow. Instead, he transforms himself from a smarter-than-your-average thug into the most infamous criminal America has ever known. Listen to American Criminal Al Capone wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get early ad-free access to the entire season first, plus hundreds of other ad-free history podcast episodes, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
Because as we end the last episode, they are fully hitting it off.
They talked all night.
They acknowledge that like they actually want to go out with each other.
Ben smiled a couple of times in that montage piece on the bus stop. He smiled and he even did this. And the last cutaway, he did this and smiled and looked at her.
Can you explain that to the people listening? What did he do?
Oh,
it's an audio.
Yeah. He slid down on the bench.
Yeah, he did like a little boy slide down on the bench and then kind of looked up at her. And you just don't see Ben do that a lot.
But
I'm good for one of those at the drop of a hat. Total stranger, I'll snuggle right up to him. But Ben McKenzie, stop it.
But Shannon just shared with us that that was Shannon and Ben actually chatting and the camera rolling.
I imagine so. Yeah. I imagine so. No, he is like that.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
But Ryan Atwood doesn't throw that down.
No.
He's got a whole other smoke.
Ryan Atwood does not throw that down.
He seemed to have to be lighter, the actor and the storyline these episodes with Shannon, for sure.
Yeah. But Lindsay says no to the dance with him and that they should just be friends. I'm like, this is such a weird position.
I can only chalk that up to, you know, script writing. We've got to create this
she's scared.
Conflict.
I 80% bought that she was a big enough nerd that she actually was trying to protect the science lab partnership. I believe that 80%.
I think she was just scared of being hurt and abandoned.
Oh, that's probably exactly right. That's probably what we're supposed to think.
But she is intimidated. She admits later that she's intimidated by the Marissa thing.
Wait, I just looked at your note here.
What?
Okay, this is the next scene. It's DJ calls Marissa from the parking lot in parentheses. Mindy wrote, how old is DJ?
Yeah. That's an excellent question.
Like, how old is DJ?
So I do all this little research. He's 29 in real life.
At the time.
Yeah.
Well, he is older than high school, obviously.
So I was like, how old is DJ and what's going on here? Yeah. I just like to know these things. Because he's one of the more, I think he's a great character for Marissa. Mm-hmm. All these antithesis characters for everyone. And in fact, I think he's kind of almost, you know, like you're the Wasp version of Seth, he's like the nice, vulnerable version of Ryan, you know, but he's not developed that much, his character. Mm. So we don't know him that well. So I was like, how old is this guy? And he's picking her up and they're, you know, making out in her bedroom. And
yeah, they sure
and
are.
And I was like,
yeah, it's full on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It starts to get full on until Julie walks in the room.
Gasp.
Oh my gosh. But here's the funny thing. And she just instantly goes, the yard guy. So I'm doing something like I'm imitating Julie here.
Yeah.
In this outfit, that top said Todd's on it. It literally said the name of the
designer. I was wondering how you knew you were wearing a Todd's top. Because
it says Todd's on the shirt.
Well, there you have it.
But Julie, I got to say, talk about Julie here for a second. Because obviously she has the reaction of, like, is it because it's, she has such a strong reaction, okay? But it's because I want to think that it's more about the fact that she doesn't want Marissa to do the same thing that happened to Julie.
I got to tell you, in a December 2021 viewing, it feels like he's got brown skin.
Yeah.
Like, just straight up. Like, he's the only dude who's talking.
And we don't have much diversity in the show.
Yeah. The brown skin guy has got to go. It just straight up feels that way.
Well, yeah, you know? And I think there's a lot of that, and we've talked about it in the show. And a lot of things that if we did it today, how would it be written?
Totally different.
But I think, Julie, first of all, we judge other people what we judge in ourselves. So Julie coming from the wrong side of the tracks, that she's like, are not going down that road, young lady. He could be the nicest guy on the planet.
Yeah.
But you're no.
Yeah.
And so I think she's got a huge, because the reaction is, it's like, oh, Julia, I'm back. You are not going to do this. Yeah. And it's a knee-jerk reaction of fear of her daughter going down that path. But also at this point, she's kind of lost power. Marissa's like, whatever.
She's like, whatever.
She's running it.
She's like, my death stares don't work anymore.
When you guys have your moment outside the dance, Jimmy fills in a little of that, your relationship to it, that I didn't have in the viewing last night.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Wait, what?
Well, I'm saying I'm reading it as the brown guy's got to go. And then later in the episode, Jimmy says, you know, we were the same way.
And she goes, I'm the gardener in this situation. Right, he's like, basically,
right,
yeah.
Exactly. He's like, my folks this and my folks that. Yeah.
And she's like, I didn't know that. But I think when we look at people's very extreme reactions to situations, mm-hmm. it's not about the other person. It's about ourselves.
Yes.
Because, you know, but also she's 17 in the bedroom and she's being an overprotective mom. Although Jimmy's a little bit too permissive, but anyway.
But then we're at school, and Zach questions Ryan about Seth, because Zach's really trying to get to the bottom of this.
This is a first.
What?
Well, just Zach's like,
oh, yeah.
Who do I go to?
Right, and you choose to speak with Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah, at the coffee thing. And he's like, Seth's weird, man. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Ryan puts up with a lot from Seth. He's a little like...
He's such a... he's like his parent in a lot of ways, yeah. You know? Like his older brother and his parent and his consigliere.
I loved Ben, though, because like he's like, no, Seth's like over her. Well, I think he is. Yeah. Well, he wants to be.
Yeah.
He doesn't give me what I'm looking for.
No, he doesn't. Really. And I really picked up on that. Like, you were kind of trying to find solace in someone, like, you know, who could be supportive and maybe whatever. And he...
Because Seth is also my friend at that point. I'm like, who's going to give it to me straight here?
Right.
Because you're not.
No.
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
So I love this next scene. Classic Seth thinks now that he's had a kiss with Alex that they're like a thing and they're a couple and they're in it.
Yeah. They're getting married.
Yep. He's like, what about the storeroom?
Storeroom hookups,
No work. We're going to do some work. Work means work, Seth.
Yeah, yeah but like, Alex that didn't mean is anything. Like, nope, didn't mean, I will kiss anybody. And she literally does.
Yeah.
She
really goes for it too.
She does.
She's committed.
That's what I'm saying. Very powerful actress.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
What is that? What was that?
With those eyes. Like you,
I'm just saying, the Yoo-hoo scene, we're going there. We're headed to Yoo-hoo. Yeah. And I'm telling you, it's. I'm telling you, she is a powerful presence.
She's a force. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't quite have that same experience when I worked with her, but...
I also thought it was funny. The beer guy's name is Homer.
Homer the beer guy, yeah.
Homer.
Yeah, sure.
I like it.
But you know what? Do you guys know people like this that were like, what? It was just a kiss. Like there are, I've had, you know.
Yeah, it's actually, like, you I know, had somebody... he had a condom on. It doesn't count. I'm totally fucking
I remember somebody saying, hey, can I kiss you? And I'm like, no. And they're like.
Are you religious? Okay.
Like, why not? It's just a kiss. And I'm like, I don't want to kiss you. Why not? It'll be fun. Like that attitude.
Oh, the see, I feel like a pre-kiss they're trying to sell you something that is not, they're trying to cover their intentions. Whereas she in that scene feels like, yeah, leave me alone. Like go back to work. I really mean what I say. But if some dude says to you, hey, come on, it's just give me a kiss.
That's a little creepy, right?
Dude, oh, for sure.
Yeah okay. Maybe that's just a MILF.
Okay.
Well, which also brings us to this next topic that Seth and Ryan are talking about how women are crazy.
Well,
he actually says this to Lindsay's character.
Yeah.
And
it's a little like nowadays. Yeah,
like you could not get away with that. He literally is like, "Yeah, well, you're a girl.
She's
going to
think I'm crazy," and he's like, "Trust me, he already does.
You're a girl,
or you're a girl. Yeah, yeah,
he already does."
Yeah.
I was like, my mouth almost dropped, you know, because I'm even like watching this now, like, "Oh, yeah, that would not fly."
Yeah.
But Seth, we've come to this conclusion that Seth
is not right.
We
in
all
brain.
Think these things, but we don't all say them. He is verbal. He'll say anything that comes into his mind. He doesn't censor himself at all.
Yeah.
Which actually makes, as frustrating as he is, it makes his character just so entertaining.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's all over the place.
He is a mess.
Yeah.
He says all the things that we're like, oh my God, I can't believe he said that.
It's hard to make a character interesting for 100 episodes. Mm-hmm. And that, it's easy with him because he could do anything at any moment.
That's true.
Well, and doing this podcast and watching over and over and over again, we start going, oh, come on, Seth, you know, whereas because that's the perception that I have to take doing the podcast. If I look at it as an actor, I'm like, Adam's doing great acting.
Totally.
Josh is writing great. Totally. This is amazing.
Right.
So the water cooler part of it is that we have to go, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's part of the thing. Right. Yeah. And then also Ryan and Marissa. Okay. So I'm watching this. And like the way they so willingly are talking to each other about their dating lives, and it just seems weird to me.
Here's my take on it. Here's my theory.
Okay.
They're not meant to be together.
Welcome back, folks, to Welcome to the OC Bitches. I'm your host. I'm Rachel Bilson's memory. And I'll be sitting on the couch today.
But no, I just think there's...
Every episode.
So Seth and Summer can't be friends.
No.
Because they're destined to be together.
Yeah. Oh, this is the theory.
Ryan and Marissa are doing... Even though it's probably painful or it's awkward, but for some reason, they're doing better. Jimmy and Julie are doing better now that they've dropped their resentments from each other. Yep. But then we know.
Let's get to the end of the episode here.
Yeah. Which is dangerous territory. Yeah. But I just think.
But I also love you two together.
Yeah, 100%.
We'll get to that. 100%. So yeah, so they're going to go as friends to the dance.
Yep.
Is what comes up. And it's just, but it's still weird to me that he's like, how's DJ? And they're having that conversation. Anyway,
those teenage fans, let me tell you, they're like, yes, thank gosh, if they're going together.
Yeah.
They were already upset that Lindsay's in town. But I think it keeps that audience hooked too.
Yeah.
So the next thing that happens, Seth asks Summer for help with Alex. I actually really like this.
I think it was genuine.
It was genuine.
Oh, sure. And he says this such a beautiful thing that I remember saying to my now wife when we broke up sometime in college. He says to her, look, I can't, there's nobody else I can talk to about this stuff.
Right.
Like, you know me so well. And I remember talking to my wife about a girl that I was dating after we had broken up because I didn't have anyone else to call. It's not good. I want to be clear. Like, it's not.
Was she cool with that?
I mean, you know, we got to bring her back.
Yeah.
We got to bring her on show. But I remember saying those words.
Right.
It like rang in me like a bell when I watched this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I do like seeing them, and she genuinely tells him what to do.
Yeah.
Because Summer has some great advice, and she instantly goes, "Ah, she's good. Playing you hot and cold."
Yeah. My favorite expression.
Yeah.
On the
back
show.
To the f- back yeah. to
but
the
then
pilot.
Zach-
and also the opposite of women are crazy. Also, let's just be clear about that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you subverted the misogyny that was accepted.
Yes, I did.
Right? These,
yes.
But then Zach's character sees us talking.
No one can win. No one wins.
No one wins. And then you see us talk. You're watching us, and then you're convinced that we're...
From afar, and, you know, great choice of a shot.
I feel like I'm hitting him with a magazine.
Well, can I tell you something just on a side note? That was a Riviera magazine. I did a cover of the Riviera magazine.
Was it your
magazine,
cover?
And I had to slow it. I'm like, are they hitting?
Oh,
was that mine?
That would have been
hysterical. I don't think it was, but it was very similar.
Well, they should have. Let's reshoot that. But I hit him with the magazine. Again, I think that is improv. I think I have established that if I'm hitting Brody, it is me.
What I love about subtitles, because I watch everything with subtitles now. Because
why?
You can't,
whoa, what?
So you don't miss something?
Well, you can see lyrics of songs. It actually picks up what he's talking about. Ah. He starts talking about you say something about Top Gun, and he starts talking about the A1, the planes and stuff.
The A1 sauce?
Not the A1, A14s or...
Yeah, the Top Gun references.
He's improvising this stuff, and you can see what he's talking about.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's but a I'm, good but little tidbit,
deaf.
Mindy.
I'm a little deaf, too.
Well, I like that better. Yeah.
Too many shotguns.
Picking up and everything.
Far out.
Training with
have you guys done the shotgun episode? Can we talk about Mindy's shotgun? Is this the Mindy shotgun episode?
No. I just learned to shoot shotguns with the SWAT team from Bellflower, and they all went off in my ears. Anyway, this happens when you're training for TV, guys.
Right. I mean, not right.
Just
some
weird.
We are back
things.
To the movie with Luke Wilson and Drew Barrymore.
Yes.
All right. So Lindsay now decides she wants to go to this dance. I was a little like, come on, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Now you're going to, whatever. He's already going with Marissa's friends.
But he could have easily said, yeah, like, is that an honorable, heroic thing for him to have done? To say, I already said yes to Marissa? Or does he want to, you know, he could have said, you know, we're just going as friends, but yeah, I want to go with you. Marissa would have understood or.
Yeah, I don't.
They could go
I
a few ways there.
Yeah,
you did?
Did
you?
Yeah.
I took it really though that he wouldn't do that to Marissa.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, yeah.
I think that is
he was being honorable.
That's the play on it, but yes.
And so Shannon didn't get a dance dress.
She didn't get a dance dress.
No,
she didn't get to drive down to the country club on the ocean there.
Trump golf course.
Okay, so let's talk about next. You are very cold to me, sir.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. In your layered polo, and I asked Stephanie Savage why you were dressing with a polo shirt and a button-down Oxford.
Gotcha.
And I was like, "What? What is this?" And she said that when she grew up, that wealthy boys or whatever would wear more of the designer clothes.
Yeah, I've heard the double collar thing
is a thing.
Yeah, I've had real like white waspy dudes come up to me and be like, "Bro, two collars."
Did they really?
They nailed it. Yeah. Actually, generally, people who are not in the business say, you nailed it. And then you have to be like, I don't choose what I wear at work, bro.
That was okay. not me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you say you won't take me to the dance.
Yeah.
You're like, why don't you ask Seth?
Yeah. Get out of here.
Man.
Yeah.
I was hurt watching that.
I'm going to stay home.
But I love your delivery. You're like, unless somebody's dead or dying, you are taking me to the snow sea.
And you say no.
Yeah.
So, you know, Summer actually becomes, the more I watch this show, she actually becomes more of, she's like the female Sandy, the moral epicenter of the show. Wow. She's like a lot, you know, you just have a lot of wisdom and it's kind of covered up by,
I agree with that actually, especially this season. Sandy loses a lot of his high ground in this season.
Yeah.
So that's right. Season two completely pivots on Summer.
And then she's working towards that higher self, that higher elevation of self by the end of the fourth season.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah. You're taking yourself out of self, becoming less selfish.
Taking myself out of self. It's a specialty.
Yeah. Okay.
Seth immediately goes and uses Summer's advice with Alex at the bait shop, which is hilarious.
I think he overshoots a little.
You think?
Yeah.
At first, he's doing great.
Yeah. Playing it cool.
Playing it cool. Yep. I'm not here for anything. But then he just quits.
Then he's like, I'm done.
I'm not going to work here.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a minute.
way they edit it, and she's like, what's going on?
Yeah, Alex is like, what is he doing? So Seth decides, he's quitting the job, and it was just very
And then
awkward.
He gets that long, like, three shots of walking on the pier.
It was a very important walk.
Yeah, and he really feels it, I have to say. Like, he really feels that walk.
Well, because
he does a couple of, like, half look backs where he's like, I'm not going to look back. What am I doing?
He's like, what just happened?
Yeah.
I said that, too. I literally wrote, what just happened? Did his plan work? I feel confused. For playing it cool, he's being dramatic.
Yeah.
So.
It's like you took the advice.
To see what her reaction is.
Instead of the, like, real version you're supposed to do, he went, like, supersized.
Well, he's not patient. He needs instant gratification.
No shit. Okay. So that happened.
So he doesn't want to go to the dance, and he's sitting on the new furniture couch and watching his martial arts.
But then he's convinced to go to the dance because Ryan's like, we're going as friends with Marissa. You can come, right? Isn't that what happened?
Well, Seth, I think I do love Sandy and Kirsten just totally.
Adorable.
Just ruining the whole thing.
Totally.
And I thought about it. I was like,
the questions.
Do you guys relate to this as parents and your kids are too young to
go to dances?
Like, just parents that can ruin something, as your kids are watching TV.
That's the number one thing I'm focused on. Is not just ruining the good stuff, you know? Like, it's the worst mistake ever for anyone, but especially parents of child. Well, when you're like, oh, you know what's really cool? And they're like, I was just doing this. And you have that feeling of like, oh, God.
Yeah.
It was just Legos. Why did I turn it into a lesson about discipline?
Yeah, but this reminds me of stories. I think a lot of parents got hooked on this show because their kids were watching and they looked over their shoulders. They want to see what their kids are watching. And I can't tell you how many parents would come up to me and say, I'm a bigger fan than my kid.
Yeah.
They made me watch it, made me sit down, and now I'm a bigger fan.
Yep.
So that was kind of that's what this reminded me of.
Yep.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Okay. So he decides that he's going to go, right? And so they go to pick Marissa up. Lo and behold, who is there?
Summer and Marissa are talking, and then of course Cohen shows up with Ryan.
Yeah, so now the foursome are going to the dance.
Do you think Adam, when he goes, "Where's Zach?" at the end? Yeah. Do you think he improv that? It sounded like an improv.
Probably.
But can we talk about that hairstyle? No, that the architecture of
that
hairstyle.
Do you know what's so funny? I remember hating that hair.
Yeah.
When they did it, it was like some weird mishmash of like 20s flapper with a fake bun, do you remember this hairstyle?
Well, I remember it.
You're nodding.
It's very
20s. I'm nodding because it was totally different.
Yeah.
And because you had to do it over and over again.
And
we shot it, and the pieces are really disparate. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I was really annoyed with this hairstyle.
I thought on the bench outside, I'm like, oh, the hair looks a little different.
Of course it does. How are you going to repeat? It was so like intricate, and it was weird. I remember hating it and feeling like I did not like how I looked at all. Like, I remember specifically that hairstyle. And I also remember, we get to a scene, like more of the exterior night scenes. It was my birthday when we were shooting. And I was like, and I have this fucking hairstyle.
And so you wanted to go out later?
and I was like, this is really lame.
Do you know what the other thing, you know what they were shooting during that episode?
What?
A Day in the Life of the OC. You know, they had these episodes that aired on Fox during prime time. And those were the interview outfits. I was wearing that green and you were wearing the blue outfit.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. And it's a,
that must have been really frustrating for you too at the time.
The hair.
Well, that you were doing those interviews in it. And also the, you know, it
will never die.
It was a gift that kept
I will say as a 40-year-old woman, looking back, I was like, it's fine. But at the time, as a 22-year-old, I was like, I hate this.
Yeah. Well, you know what? This reminds me of an Aaron Spelling rule on soap operas or nighttime soaps. You were only allowed to have one hairstyle for a whole episode. And even then, you didn't change it that much.
Yeah.
But not only,
I love that.
Not only, and I took that. Because not only do you not have to run to the trailer, it doesn't waste time.
Oh.
You're not constantly changing. The audience knows exactly who you are. If you think of the Dynasty,
the series I did, Heart of Dixie, like I would always think ahead and I'm like, we're never painting my nails. I'm not going to run in between and change the nail cut. And I was like, none of this extra stuff.
No.
Yes.
Keep my hair the same. Yes. Keep it all the same. Anyway, it's a lot different now.
But you get excited. You're like, oh, I want to do this hairstyle and I want to do that.
Yeah, but you have to be a think-aheader.
Yeah.
Anyway. There we go. We digress.
All right. But so the foursome in the car scene, though, going to the dance.
Is really funny.
It's cute. And Ben gives the biggest smile at the end.
That's a rare.
It warms my heart.
We're just dying for Ben smiles over here.
Yeah.
When Ben smiles,
When Ben smiles.
Well, he's having fun. But I think it's so funny. Your bickering is funny, the Bickersons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then finally, and it's like, and she kissed a girl? And then it was nice to see Summer let up a little bit and be fun and be funny.
Well, let's be honest. She's
that was my
funny.
Favorite scene, actually, now that I think about it.
In the
you two in the back, it's really funny.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about who got dumped worse, essentially, for the date. Yeah.
Essentially, were one of the dumpers. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
But okay, can we talk about the decorations at this dance?
Yeah, the tunnel you guys walked through.
Oh,
I was like, where was that tunnel? I never got in there.
So that was recreated at the Palos Verdes golf course.
Yes.
And I remember being there, and those are night shoots, which means that we were shooting pretty... No, do we shoot during the day in interior, and then it goes into the nighttime?
Yeah,
it's called a split.
Yeah. It's called... Oh,
getting all
terminology
in this business.
But how funny is it that Marissa drags Ryan straight onto the dance floor? And I'm trying to remember.
I really liked her dress, by the way.
Do you remember the designer?
I want to say Chanel, but that's just by default. I don't know.
Yeah. But Ben commits to that looking down, awkward dancing.
Yes.
And because, you know, the last time we saw them dancing in that same room was at the Cotillion.
Yeah.
And... He doesn't dance, but now he's being...
I saw it before I got the job, at the end.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's committing to the dancing part. And then I thought, does Ben dance in real life?
I can't imagine that. Yeah,
I don't... But
Ben, a dancer, in
did
my
you guys
mind.
Dance like this at your proms? And did you go
like
to your
this?
Proms? And I mean, that was more like eighth grade.
Yeah,
and,
like younger.
I don't know. These little things that
know.
Like...
Prom was a way different dancing. Thing in my senior year of high school. Let's just let's leave that there.
Yeah, okay.
But I mean, do you remember getting asked to? I remember getting asked to some of these dances, and they're just always so, like, just awkward, just weird. This prom dances,
really, really awkward.
Always awkward, but like I said,
I can't imagine how kids feel now because their content. I can't start talking like that.
Then we're really the parents, just like and Shunny.
Okay. So Julie spots Marissa and Ryan dancing, and I have to point out that Cool by Gwen Stefani debuted right in that scene.
No way.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's wild.
That's very cool.
I know.
Cool.
YouTube premiered on the episode before, so this is when we're getting the bigger
bands.
And you know, Mick G and Gwen Stefani, obviously, were good friends.
Yeah.
Oh.
Same did they grow up together?
I feel like they did.
Orange County or something?
Are we making that up?
Oh, yeah. That seems true.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they are Mark Orange McGrath County.
Yeah.
But that's so cool, that song. And I like it because we see you and Jimmy while the song is
she's
playing.
She's like, oh, did you see what I see? And he's like, you're happy? She's like, oh, so happy. Ryan is amazing to me.
Now you love Ryan.
Yeah.
I know, after seeing DJ.
She's like, attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, I love seeing you and Jimmy together.
Yeah, we were having fun. Working with Tate is a blast.
Oh, what a treasure.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy is like treasure fantastic. Tate, as we like to call him. Oh,
God, I have a huge crush on him.
Yeah, I think we all did.
Of course, so Seth and Summer are now dancing, finally. And lo and behold, who shows up just when they start to dance?
Yeah. Ow.
Hey, but your delivery wasn't like, it was you.
No, you go, see them and you're you like, go, hey guys.
No, it's a great joke. I say hey, Luke and Leia and Adam, I couldn't get through it. Adam was so funny. He was totally on script. He just said, Luke and Leia were brother and sister. And I was like, so was supposed to be so really? Pissed. And I was just like, yeah. I just couldn't do it.
Because you're like, you guys. But you say a line.
You're one of those couples.
You're one of those couples. Yeah. Even when you're not a couple. Joni and Chachi.
Yeah, when you're not a couple, you're a couple.
But I'm watching this, I'm like, if people watch it now, do they know who Joni and Chachi are?
No way. Not.
No way. Like, I didn't know who they were at the time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, right. No, oh, that's a very that old shit. Throwback yeah. to yeah. Scott Baio and...
Yeah.
So, but here...
Absolutely.
But you're a comic book expert, and to say Luke and Leia...
Yeah.
And he goes, doesn't they're right. brother and sister, yeah. and you say, well, may the force be with you. This shows to me... how cracked he is and how stressed he is because he made that
that's right
reference that, because yeah. he wouldn't yeah yeah, yeah. yeah. poor
should
guy
have said Han and Leia but I said Luke and Leia
yeah
yeah, yeah. I know it was a very yeah
that's a real deep
big mistake
yeah
huge
yeah. big
yeah
huge Ryan shows up to Lindsay's house.
It's really cute. She has her glasses on. Yep. She's reading naturally. Yep. But my favorite thing about this entire scene.
Yep.
Yep.
The Freudian slippers.
Yeah, I need those.
So then I Googled.
I'm a big fan of a pun.
The Freudian slippers.
Ooh.
Well, I couldn't figure out who created them, but they're out there. You can buy them for Christmas.
Well,
they're...
I would like those for Christmas. Anyone listening, this is going to come on after, but I'll take them for Valentine's Day.
Okay, now we get to your scene.
Okay.
Zach.
We have arrived at the bait shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I start talking. Yeah.
So,
what am I doing there?
So what are you doing there?
You're stressed.
I need a Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah, I need a Yoo-Hoo.
What?
I had never had a Yoo-Hoo in my life.
Were they popular then? Were they actually a soda?
She put seltzer in it because like back east, a 2 cents plain. Now, a grandmother I'm very close to called it a 2 cents plain, which is chocolate syrup and seltzer.
Oh. Is that why she put it in a glass?
It's like an egg cream.
Yeah, anyway. Okay.
This is
the whole thing was a little confusing to
anyways.
Me.
Anyways.
Yeah.
It was a little too inside for me. I don't know.
I didn't know.
So tell us about the day shooting that scene, Michael Cassidy.
I don't remember much of it. I just remember, I was nervous every day. I still kind of am in different ways when I work. But I just remember like shooting the master and just kind of looking at her and being like, does she actually, like, is this really a bar? And does she actually work here? Like, her vibe is just like so lived in. And I, on the inside, feel like, you know, a kind of crappy actor just kind of keeping it together with Band-Aids. You know what I mean? Like, she just is like, I don't know. She just seems so comfortable, you know? And it's kind of right for the scene, like no big deal. But I'm like, you know, I'm letting my guard down. Give me a Yoo-Hoo. But I don't feel that way. I sort of feel like, God, do I even know my lines? Because this actress is just like, there, you know,
yeah,
but not that you guys weren't or whatever, but
no,
Olivia
I wasn't.
Has
it's okay,
a,
I wasn't,
yeah,
there.
You weren't,
but so. Olivia was always very present,
she was, yeah.
So, but in this scene, she's giving you this advice unknowingly who she's talking about,
yeah.
You know,
yeah, it's good, and that's good stuff,
it is good stuff,
yeah.
And then she realizes at the end, oh, fuck,
whoops,
it's Seth,
yeah, and she's gonna have to come bail him out,
because
she knows that I'm just gonna totally drill him.
But I love you're like, well, I'm not much of a fighter,
yeah,
but. And she's like, no, not literally fight, but I could take Seth Cohen.
I could take Seth Cohen.
but you being a water polo player and a nerd is an oxymoron.
Yes.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
In growing up in Orange County.
Yeah.
That's a big joke that I say that every episode.
Growing up in Orange County.
She's from Orange County.
You are?
Oh. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, she
How
is.
How far up?
Rook it in.
How did they, I mean, was the show pretty accurate?
Actually, I know stories that are crazier.
I'm sure.
Yeah. No, as I was reading the scripts, I was like, at first I was like, oh, this is kind of a, I was like, oh, the first script I ever read, I'm like, this is a superficial soap opera. But then as the episodes went on, actually things in season 3 that people don't like, I was like, that happened. I know somebody that happened to. I know somebody that fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
I mean, there's I was like, no, I know even crazier stories.
Yeah.
So It kind of was surreal. So, yes.
We're good friends with a family, and the wife is from Newport Beach.
Yeah.
And she's nothing like our show. And she's the sweetest person. She's a lot sweeter than me. And I'm from nowhere near Newport Beach. And so I often so think she's about a the summer. Show. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a weird, I think it's a she's weird a Zach, dynamic.
She's really a Zach.
She's really, I have friends, he's Jewish, she's like the Kirsten Cohen, and they were living in Pelican Cove.
Yeah.
And I remember I had to talk to Adam Brody on the phone at one point, and I was like, this is really surreal. I'm in Newport Beach in Pelican Cove with the real life Sandy and Kirsten, and I'm talking to Adam for something.
Whoa.
And I was like, this is really weird. I think it was you guys were going to the montage or something. I don't know.
As we often did, obviously. okay, so you're going to go to the dance now. You're going to do your thing.
Yeah.
We're at the dance. Lay Lady Lay is playing a cover of Lay Lady Lay by Magnet F. Gemma Hayes.
What? Magnet F. Gemma Hayes.
DJ. Wait, DJ, we didn't even talk about that. DJ shows up. Ryan offers him
the jacket
and tie.
So I loved that.
Yeah.
So, it didn't look like he needed it, though, I have to say.
He had a button down on.
Yeah, but I think he also had a tie. Did he give him the tie,
he
too? Didn't
have a tie. Yeah, he gave him a tie and the jacket.
I was that is the quickest thinking possible for a 16-year-old kid.
Can I say something, though, that 60 Ryan... 60
going on 60. I mean,
dig it's... that. All of us.
Yes.
But Ryan, because Ryan's now the veteran of these... you know, these Newport Beach things. He knows that the yard guy needs the jacket and the tie. But Ryan says to her, are you sure? Like, why didn't you bring him? Because making your mom, upset would have been a great move.
Yep.
There must be something going on. He knows her. Are you sure it's not because you're embarrassed about him? And the part of her that goes, wow, I made this decision and actually,
yeah, because he's
think
like,
I am
did he decide he didn't want to come? Yes. Yeah, did you?
Yes,
because he's like, been saying you're embarrassed about me, and she's like, no, it's no, because she doesn't want to be that person.
Yeah,
but deep down she is. But right before that, I have to say the scene where Julie goes up to Ryan and she's like, "You're so handsome," uh-huh. and la 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 la, is it's pretty funny. Anyway, <Come on. laughs> we don't get to see Julie. I didn't have a lot of scenes with Ben. That was like one of the first, you know, every once in a while.
Yeah.
That was like the first nice one
that
we ever had.
And to this point, you're talking about him a lot. Like in the first season, you're like, that kid.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And now their attention is somewhere else.
Yeah.
So, you know, so he's there now and they're dancing. And this is really funny because you comment on this, Mindy, that...
She's talking to some noobsies, apparently.
Yeah, and they're like, it's the gardener.
Well, they're like...
Oh, no.
Well, he's
the kind of gardener that they would remember.
I'm like, is he everyone's gardener?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, he just does everyone's garden. And does he do everyone's bush? He sure does. yes, but that's hilarious. Like, everyone knows him as that. But
this is one of my favorite things, and actually it's in the opening credits of Tate Donovan, and Julie just storms and he yanks her. No, you are not. What are you going to do? Embarrass your daughter?
Yeah, I loved it.
And I
was a little uncomfortable with the yank, I will say.
Was it an aggressive yank?
Yeah. No, it was gentle.
I believe that Tate, I believe that it was, what's it called? Agreed upon? What's that word?
Consensual?
Yeah. Consensual. I didn't think you were in danger, but I was like, bro.
See, you help me, I help you.
Yeah.
Well, but
great
team
we made.
Will you come on my podcast?
Okay, so.
But then we have that scene that we talked about where he basically is like, do you not remember?
Yes.
Us?
Jimmy.
That was us. And my parents.
That was us. My parents.
Keep our hands off each other.
Yep. Did not want me to date you. Like, it's all put into perspective. And then.
She goes, first of all. Oh my gosh. What, am I the gardener in this scenario?
I know, but you guys kiss.
In front of?
Full on.
I know, it's supposed
to be
off to the side.
It's kind of off to the side.
It's totally inappropriate.
But it's all of Newport, and you guys are kissing. And after everything that's happened with Jimmy and Julie, it was kind of shocking.
It's
but
so
I
weird
also
to
was
see
very
that.
Happy to
I gotta,
see it.
I got to say, it's weird to see like the whole, because I don't think that this was like the first, because Julie and Jimmy in the first season were so at each other. This was like the first like kiss, and I don't know if they added ADR. It was loud. It was a loud
like a lot of smacking. Isn't that the best?
I might go back for that that sound effect.
But no, I think it's a weird
Tate's
thing to
a smacker.
See that.
If they didn't add it. Tate did it. Tate smacked.
We both have big lips.
Smack that. Get on the floor. Okay. So we're outside the dance. Summer's on a bench. Seth comes out. Who pulls up? Sure
the
enough.
Little, but the little beat where he sits down and then re-chooses his seat further away from you. Like, there's very rarely time for that in television. And the stuff that they people don't know enough to keep stuff like that, but it's like gold. Yeah. I mean, it's so layered.
It tells a story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay. That was another Seth moment.
Yeah. But Zach just storms right up.
He storms right up.
You're so jealous.
No, I'm fine. Fine. Totally fine. Zach comes up and you punch him.
Yeah.
Like, you really punch him.
Yeah.
Well, you had the same sound effect as the kiss.
They kept hitting that sound effect. Have you ever been in a fight?
Yes.
You have?
It wasn't a fight. In eighth grade, I got mad at a kid because he made some comment and I...
What was the comment?
I can't remember. And we were on the kickball diamond. I can feel it. The anger, the feelings. And I ran up to him and actually, it was similar to this. It was a one and done situation.
Really?
Not to toot my own horn.
He didn't fight back. He was out. Down for the count.
Yeah, I punched him and it knocked the wind out of him.
I find that it's back, well, I don't know, maybe in the 80s, 90s, I knew a lot of guys who got into fights. And it's hard to come by nowadays, I feel like, which is good.
I hope so, yeah.
Yeah, fighting is not good, because
it's not okay. Like, I think people got away with it.
Use your words, as I've been telling my daughter her whole life. okay, so, by the way, and then Alex shows up. And she's like,
I got it from here. And it's summer.
The look on my face. But I'm also like, oh. But then I relent and I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
But the way you say sorry. You say sorry?
You go,
say
something. Sorry, Cohen.
The way
sorry,
you say Cohen. It is immediately so endearing.
Feels so bad. It's amazing.
I know.
That's so good.
It was a great
it's so
moment.
Good. That was like, sorry.
I was like,
Cohen,
this is the way I would do
you.
It too if I hit anyone.
Yeah.
But especially Seth.
It's really sweet.
But he actually says, well, I probably deserved it. Like, did you hear that under his breath? I saw that on the subtitles.
Yes.
Oh, I did not hear that. See, I need
turn
subtitles.
On the subtitles.
That's definitely what's happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know what? She ices his hand, and I have a feeling you guys shot the interior during the day before we went exterior.
So this is my story about this scene. Really quickly, we shot it second unit, and I don't know if it was either reshot or it was just too big of an episode and it got moved to second unit, but we shot the punch, me pulling up and the punch second unit, and maybe some icing was left from either an earlier draft or wasn't second unit.
They had you do the left hand?
Yeah, was it? Did we mess it up?
Well, you iced the left hand, you punched with
the
right.
Oh,
God.
Oh, my God. No, just calling out.
I just started sweating. You're going to see it in a little bit. I'm just kidding. So.
It's hot in here.
That's very embarrassing.
It does get hot.
My memory of this scene is that because we were on second unit, we had a different script supervisor. We had this experienced woman named Bridget
talked like this.
Oh, I remember her.
Remember Bridget?
Her. Yeah.
Okay. So I'll talk to anybody. And I had to talk to her, right? So I'm talking to her. I remember Ian standing next to her, and it's second unit, so there's nothing there. Like, she's
second
just,
unit is like, we basically have a main unit that's shooting all the scenes, but if there's anything
stunts,
extra,
whole
inserts,
second crew.
Stunts,
yeah, whole second
it's
filming
a whole other,
unit.
Yeah. Yes.
And Ian's still directing it because the director comes over to where the scene is being shot, even if it's on a different unit. So he's standing next to her. I'm talking to them in Video Village. He's maybe getting enough of me getting so much out of talking to her. So he's like kind of walking away and rolling his eyes and stuff. And so she and I develop a rapport. So I pull up, we practice, I hit him. I don't do it that well. We need to do it again. Maybe he was good at stuff like this. He was such a pro, but maybe he needed to do it again, throw his head again a little harder on when it was on me. And I had to pull up the car and walk up all in the same shot. Very difficult, you know, chewing gum and talking at the same time. Very difficult for an actor. So I do it on the second take. I pull up, do it. It goes really well. And this moment after Ian yells cut, she goes, "I smell Emmy." I'll never forget.
Oh my gosh. Priceless. Forget.
I smell Emmy.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Yeah. And did you?
Did I win an Emmy? Is that at the bottom of the rundown here? I did. I won an Emmy.
That's
great.
Amazing.
That's great.
Yeah. Okay. I say it all the time now. Anytime someone does something really cool
and
on set, I go, "I smell Emmy." And then everyone goes, "Whose voice is that?" And then I...
You have to tell the whole
Bridget.
Story.
And then they just bring me my sign-out sheet and I have to go.
So Alex now... They're back at the bait shop.
This is a cute scene.
Super
with
cute.
Alex and Seth. She's trying to show him how to box.
He goes, and I just love this, what? She's like, what are those?
About
referring
his fist.
To his fist.
Yes. Yeah.
The twin ambassadors of pain. And I actually, it's interesting. I realize I actually steal little things that I've seen over the years. Like I do them and I'm like, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Yeah. And I'm like, where did that come from? And I see this episode. I'm like, ooh, I just stole it from
Brody.
Yeah.
From Brody.
I guess I did. I stole everything from Brody. Okay. So now at the pool house, Lindsay comes because she, you know, nothing happens when he goes to her door, basically. She's like, no.
She could not be more nervous telling him.
I know. It's so cute. She comes to see him and she's so flustered and nervous.
And he gets that look in his eye.
That Atwood look.
Just total
Here
smoke.
Here it comes.
Just smoke for days.
Gonna lay it on her. And he does. He kisses her. It's really cute.
There's a lot of kissing in this episode.
There is, as somewhat of an outsider and someone who hadn't seen it in a long time, every scene is just absolutely infused with sex. It's like so much sex. And it, except for my stuff. Yep. My stuff is all just sketchings.
Because when we've had people comment.
You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. We're like making each other laugh in your bedroom. And then I'm like, I'm grumpy about something. And then later we talk about, you know, a book. You know, there's no sex.
I know that's true.
Everything else is sex.
You and Zach never had sex?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. I don't oh my gosh, I have no idea.
He's getting flustered. Oh, he's covering his bosoms.
Now, I wrote this that everyone is kissing in the sep, and I think that's on purpose. The writers wrote that on purpose.
Maybe.
No.
I believe it. Okay.
Anyway, so he does say, I know something we can do that doesn't involve a lot of talking. Video games. Video games and kissing.
And kissing, but they get to it.
Okay, so I love. Can I say that again? I love the end of this episode.
Okay.
Because it reveals our mystery. And I don't think a lot of people, maybe some people had guessed it.
Oh, it is. It's the reveal.
Yes.
Yes.
And it's so
a big
cool.
moment.
So, and it's like, and I think Kathleen York, wonderful actress, and we're going to talk to her soon.
Good.
So I won't reveal too much. But I just think she's just got this great presence. And it's, they've been dragging this on. And I, you know, since last season. Like, what's he doing? What is so protective of Caleb? And we know that something's going on. And when he says, you know, come on, just come forward with the right documentation and we can throw this out and we just don't know the weight of it. And she hears, I just love this, a giggle.
Uh-huh.
And she turns and we hear, Mom, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
And we push in on Sandy's eyes.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
And I wrote, yes, this is the way you ended episode.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's revealed.
And they look a lot alike, Shannon.
Lindsay is Caleb's, what's it called?
Love child.
Love child. Yeah.
Love child.
I just thought that was great.
It's excellent.
Excellent.
It's not,
excellent.
Yeah, not only great.
I smell Emmy. Well, that's the end of that episode.
Yeah.
And I know that
episode.
There are so many things that we could ask you about.
There are. Like, I tried to sneak them back. I feel like you should come back.
Have me back.
We have two voicemails.
We have voicemails for you from some
for
fans.
You.
What does that mean?
It means Hello?
You're
going to
hear
some questions.
Okay. Do I have to pull out my phone?
Yes.
No.
Hi, my name is Tamiris. I'm a huge fan of VOC all the way from Brazil. The podcast Welcome to the OC Bitches has been a true gift and it's been one of the highlights of my year, so I really want to thank Rachel and Melinda for creating it.
Aww.
And I have a question for Michael. Your character Zach falls in love with Summer, a girl who is clearly hang up on her ex-boyfriend Seth, and well, got to be a tough situation, right? So what I want to ask you is if you have ever been in a similar position to Zach in real life. Because, that's got to be tough. So, that's it. Thank you very much. Bye.
So I thank you for your question. I'm touched by it. And I feel like I've been thinking about this a lot the last couple of years. Like we do a lot of unrequited love, I feel, in our television careers. And I at least I've done a ton of it. And the number one thing that is sort of like unrequited in my actual life, I think, has been it's going to sound so pathetic, but my desire to get an acting job and not get picked, like that is, that's that, this shit has broken my heart more than anything else ever. I would say a close second would be the experience of watching your child be their own person and how it's just so beautiful, but it is heartbreaking. Like, I don't know why, but it is heartbreaking. I try to be accepting and enjoying of it, but it is also super intense. That being said, my wife and I have been together more or less since our prom.
Absolutely.
In high school.
Wow.
And
so you haven't had too many of those triangles.
No, I'm so fortunate. Yeah. The woman that I am crazy about is crazy about me.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. It is awesome.
You know, Michael, what I tell young actors, they got to say no to everyone but one.
Yeah.
So you're in good company.
Yes.
Although when it comes down between you and one other person,
yeah,
that hurts a little.
Yeah.
But
yeah, totally.
Yeah. But then that means you're passionate.
It also means that I have the great privilege of, you know, pursuing full time work that is interesting to me, that I care about my job. It's a huge gift.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay. Thanks for that question.
We have another voicemail for you.
Hi guys, I'm Nila and I'm from Germany. And first, I want to thank you for this amazing podcast. And then I have a question for Michael. Can you remember the first day on set and what it felt like to be on this hit TV show? Which scene did you shoot first, and were you nervous?
I was so nervous that I couldn't get my face close to Rachel Bilson's face. I mean, that's how I literally couldn't operate my head.
You know what? Most people don't want to get their face close to my face.
How about your last day on set?
Oh, do you remember that?
Oh.
Your best day on set? Your favorite day on set? Your last day. Any day.
I can't remember my last day.
Okay, you're going to go home and do some homework.
Worst day on set, it was a Tony Wormby episode. It was you and Brody on one couch and me on another, and I had to come in with a big, do you remember this?
I hope
you don't remember this. I hope you're like, it was not that big a deal. What? So now I've told you what to say when I'm done with this story, okay?
Go ahead.
So I have to come into the, the lounge thing, and you guys are on the couch, and I've come into the couch opposite you, and I have to come in with something super exciting. I have to drive the whole scene. Guys, this, right?
Yeah.
I walk in, and it was just one of those days, man. Couldn't get anything out. I'd come in,
at you guys. Really?
And it was so bad, like so painful.
This is jogging some kind of memory.
And Tony Wormby gave me one of the great gifts I've ever received.
What?
From someone in show business. I can feel his hand on my elbow right now. I'm at my one mark, and he's like, Michael, the scene is running you right now, but you run the scene. There's nothing else. There's nothing else. There's no other entity here. It's just you running this scene.
And he said, Tony Wormby said it like this.
Yeah.
That would have made me more nervous, I feel like.
No, and he was the father I needed.
Tony is one of the most sweet,
But it's an interesting thing as actors, because I've been working on this like perfectionism that's really can trip you up. Like, I have to be perfect in my dialogue, and I can never, ever mess up.
Yep.
And that's always, so I'm not on the blooper reel that much. But but if you
she didn't mess up.
I get
but,
that.
But it's but that's I what that. I was taught growing up.
Yeah. Yes.
And so if and when you do flip off, if I do ever go off, I literally can get this like adrenaline rush.
Oh, yeah.
And all of a sudden it could be like flop sweat. And I'm like, oh, whoa. And you make it worse.
Yeah.
And so it's like something that
I do remember, though, us sitting in the lounge, right? Where the coffee cart is, but up top where the two couches are.
Yeah. I mean, we had a bunch of scenes
and
up
you
there,
coming
but this
in
was a bad
and
day.
I remember sitting there and never leaving again because you could not get the line out.
Oh,
God. I'm still on that couch.
This is brutal, Rachel. Like, you are saying the opposite of what I want you to say.
But it seems like the sky is falling when that happens.
Yeah, I mean,
for sure.
and nothing does.
Piece of shit at the center of the universe, man. I think about it all the time.
Well, but that's when acting starts feeling like I'm doing it with a knife to my throat. If I mess up, then it's going to mess up the schedule and it's going to cost money.
Yeah.
And So I know that feeling, but ultimately,
I'm always doing that. I'm like, the crew has to go to lunch.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Have
I'm always
families.
Thinking
it's
about
late.
Yeah, everybody
it's
else.
It's 2 a.m.
Yep.
And I can't get my dialogue out.
They don't help with that because they'll just say it, you know?
Yeah.
They don't hide it.
No.
Yeah. They'd be like, just fucking do it, man. We all did our
job. We gotta go home. Yeah. We're trying to go home here.
Yeah. Are the lights still in the same spot? Okay, great. So what are you doing?
We're out of here.
Yeah.
No. But then I run into actors who, when they mess up, it doesn't mess with them at all.
Adam Brody would just go, one second, and then go.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah. It's a skill. It's like, oh, okay, hold on a second, because you know you can edit.
Yeah.
And not take it, not get overly, don't overreact.
Yep.
Just keep going.
Right.
Fix it.
Actually, spoiler alert, Logan Marshall Green was really good at that too. I remember doing a scene with him. Another, for me, intimidating actor. And he was so present. I remember messing up and being like, and just making a slight acknowledgement of the mess up. And then him being like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And it wasn't, why'd you make a mistake? It was like,
just
this doesn't matter.
Right. Right. The things that we think are a big deal are not. Right. Our emergencies, it's not a big deal. Just keep going. It's how you recover. Yeah. Because now auditioning and doing a test, you can't mess up in a test. Those are the things that frustrate me.
Yeah.
Anyway,
it was really fun having you here.
Loved being here. I loved watching the show. Like
you
I said,
like one of the most energetic, working with you, energetic, charismatic. Like,
oh, thank you.
Like I said, I had the best time working with you. Yeah. We always had fun.
We had a great.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
And it shows. I think even here today, I feel like we had a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, I knew it was going to be fun because you guys were super fun to work with.
Yeah.
It was a sick show.
It was so much fun.
The best job ever.
We did. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Michael. He's going to come back. You know what? I think he should just always be here. Like you said, he is my memory. So we're going to keep it on a constant rotation.
Yeah.
But thank you, everybody, for listening. Follow, rate, and review. Welcome to the OC Bitches, wherever you listen to your podcast. If you like to watch us, check it out on YouTube or on HBO Max.
Bye, bitches.
Bye.
Bye.
I smell Emmy.
'Hi, everyone. It's Rabia Chaudhry.
And I'm Ellen Marsh.
And we have a new podcast called Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. As you know, I am a very smart lawyer.
You are. You're so well-respected in the entire world. You know everything.
Thank you so much.
And as you know, I am a famous Broadway star. Gorgeous, I sing like a nightingale.
Well, yes. At least that's what your mom says. Just kidding. This is Ellen Marsh
and I'm
Rabia Chaudhry. But we are teaming up to bring you a show like you have never heard before.
True crime meets talk show. Nobody's done it. We're going to do it. We're going to do the impossible. And it's the two things that I love. Ellen, I think you'll like it too.
What? True crime and talking?
Yeah.
I'm there. Every other week, we will have a guest talking about whatever true crime case they are obsessed with. We have a list, everything from the Lacey Peterson murder.
Yeah, some of the most famous cases you've ever heard of. Obviously, like JonBenet Ramsey, the West Memphis Three.
Chris Watts, Khalif Browder.
Elisa Lam, Madeleine McCain.
Sandra Bland, the Springfield Three. The list goes on and on. But they are all cases that you know, and we are going to dive in deep with someone else and just talk about them.
No. We're going to solve the case, Ellen.
That's right. We're going to solve the case. So subscribe to Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case wherever you get your podcasts.